Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is November 17th, and this is episode 41. Another challenger appears. Enter PlayStation 4. Welcome again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast. This week, we're looking at Friday's launch of the PlayStation 4. We have one here in studio, and we just can't wait to talk to you folks about it. But first, before we get to the discussion, we have a pretty full slate of our usual follow-ups and news bits, so in the interest of your time and our own, let's get this party started.
The Wii Mini will be coming to the U.S. finally for $100 and will include Mario Kart Wii. This is, of course, the kind of toned-down version of the Wii. It doesn't have internet capabilities or SD card capabilities or 480p output. So it's basically for soccer moms, but hey. Or, you know, someone on a budget who doesn't have HDTV. I don't mean to be classist here.
You know, I'm going to have to say, I love the Wii. I'm a huge fan of the platform. We talked a little bit, I think, about the Wii Mini back when we did our look at various console reiterations.
Yes,
and reversions. So I think that my somewhat negative opinion of the Wii Mini has already been stated here on the air. So let me just say, it's cool in that if you include the cost of Mario Kart in the bundle, it basically comes out to like $50 because, you know, Mario Kart still retails for like $50. So, you know, game and console, $100. You could do worse than that, but to me, you could probably get good Wiis that still can play GameCube games and stuff and go on the internet probably for like $60 used these days. So I don't see this being that great of a deal. I feel more likely than anything that Nintendo probably had a bunch of Wii Minis that flopped in sales up in Canada and Japan or whatever, and figured they had to ship them somewhere, and since people still buy Wiis in the U.S., maybe they figured they'd sell here. Because these did not move a great deal of units in other territories.
Wouldn't you just love to be the kid who's like, I want a Wii U for Christmas, and then you get a Wii Mini, and it doesn't even go online? Oops.
Yeah, that would suck.
But it comes with Mario Kart.
Oh, girl, not all this again. Let's see, we also have news that the Dragon Ball Z Battle of Z, when it comes to the U.S., will have a collector's edition with a Son Goku figurine, as well as an art book and a Naruto Sage costume in-game. So, you know, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
All right, well, why don't you take us to this next one?
Valve has announced that they won't be developing exclusive SteamOS games for Steam machines. So that's good. You know, they are not trying to just be like, oh, buy a Steam machine. That's pretty much it.
I have to admit, I think it would be effing hilarious if, you know, Half-Life 3 were to come out and it's like, LOL, no, you don't get to play this because you don't have a Steam machine.
Oops.
But no, I'm sure when SteamOS and the Steam machines hit properly, I'm sure they will support it with some new software, but it won't be exclusive to those platforms.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I think we all win, ultimately.
Yes.
We
Blades,
all...
Continue. I was going to say, Blaze Blue Chrono Phantasma is coming to North America in March, according to Axis. It'll be $80 for the limited edition, which will have a 40-page art book, official soundtrack, CD, and a Nendoroid figure of Rachel Alucard.
Yeah,
What's a Nendoroid? Is that like a little chibi thing?
Yeah, it's like a whole line of like character mascot memorabilia. It's pretty cute. Like, it's interesting that we're getting one here in the U.S. I'm not familiar really with those coming out here, but whatever, I'll take it.
Here's one that you'd like to take.
Angry Birds and Puzzle and Dragon are going to be having a crossover starting tomorrow, November 18th, up through December 1st. We don't typically talk about all of the Puzzle and Dragon crossovers. There have been a lot in recent months, including franchises such as Batman. But we are talking about this one because, as far as I'm aware, this is a crossover that's also going to take place in the American version of Puzzle and Dragons. So if you play Puzzle and Dragons or you've always been interested but haven't played yet, this is a pretty good time to jump in.
Yeah.
The Capcom producer, Motohide Ishiro-san, who you might know from having worked on titles such as Ace Attorney Dual Destinies and DMC Devil May Cry, in a recent issue of Famitsu Magazine has shared his desire to go back to Capcom's roots and remake some of the old, like, 2D beat-em-ups such as Final Fight and Dungeons & Dragons. And this is interesting because we sort of saw not that long ago when Capcom released their financial reports, which we discussed at some length here on Game Buoy, that they do have a vested interest communicated to their investors to sort of revitalize a lot of these older properties. So this is, you know, this is really interesting to see that they already have people there who are sort of thinking this way and are conducive to these ideas.
Excellent. Capcom has announced that Ultra Street Fighter 4 will be coming to North America and Europe shortly after the Japanese arcade release in April 2014, but that it will definitely be before EVO 2014.
Yeah, you know, you may recall we talked a week or two ago about how a arcade in Japan had tweeted about Ultra Street Fighter 4 coming out in April. Well, now Capcom has confirmed that more or less by announcing that that game will be releasing in Japanese arcades in April and that the download versions of the game will come to North America and Europe shortly after, but as Slykick says, before EVO this year.
The Wii U version of the new Super Smash Bros. Game will have a Super Mario Galaxy stage that will have gravity effects. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if this is a finalized shot, but...
Well, there are characters fighting there, and we know the game is playable, so, I mean, it's final insofar as it seems to be from the current rev of the game.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this, you know. Obviously, you can find a link to Silicon Era's article on this over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
But it's really interesting because the playfield is, like, arced, and apparently based on how you jump and, like, where you are, how far you are from the ground, apparently the physics of your jumps and what have you will actually be changing in real time. So this, to me, is a very, very exciting concept of a stage, you know. I don't really mind. There's a lot of people who have strong feelings about Smash Brothers as, like, a competitive fighting game, and they feel like you should only play on, like, the super vanilla stages with effects turned off or what have you. I am not one of those people. I love when the stage you're on has, like, a gimmick that you have to work with or around. And a Mario Galaxy-based gimmick, to me, that's a very exciting prospect. So I'm really looking forward to
Indeed.
This. Indeed. And last, but certainly not least, this past week, Nintendo held a Nintendo Direct, but they did not discuss the forthcoming Kirby Triple Deluxe for 3DS during this Direct. This was very strange, but the next day, Nintendo opened up a new website for Kirby Triple Deluxe, announcing that the game would be coming out in Japan on January 11th.
Great.
Please look forward to it. I believe that's all of our follow-ups, so it must be time for...
Oh my god, news. Sony has released a Pocket Station app on the Vita, which is really cute because it will work with PS1 Classics. If you have a PS Plus, it's free. It'll work with PS1 Classics like Final Fantasy VIII, Ape Escape, and Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped.
You know, the really interesting thing to me about this, and, you know, we obviously haven't heard yet about a release for this app in the U.S., but the Pocket Station never actually came out in the U.S., although games in Japan that supported it that came out here retained that functionality for the most part. Things like Final Fantasy VIII's Chocobo Raising app or whatever.
Right.
That was still in even the U.S. release of the game. You just, you know, couldn't access it unless you had a Pocket Station, which most people in the U.S. did not. So it'll be really interesting to see if this app comes to the U.S., because for a lot of gamers, I think this might be the first time seeing some of this content. And don't get me wrong, you know, I was one of those kids that had an import Pocket Station, because it's me. But, you know, it was a really shallow experience, but it was still cool, and I think that for most people who really like these games, it's just always nice to see additional content and stuff that you had never seen in it before. Psychic, do you have any experience with the Pocket Station?
I don't, just I remember reading about it on the interwebs.
Oh, interesting. The PC version of Final Fantasy VIII also had a separate app that you could run that would emulate the Pocket Station functionalities.
Cute. Yeah. Kind of defeats the purpose, but cute.
Well, it does, but again, better support at all than no support.
True. Nintendo has bought some stake, or some stock, rather, and purchased a stake in Nico Nico Duga's parent company, Duango Co.
Duango Co?
Duango Co. So, they are a telecommunications company that provide content through smartphones, but Nintendo is not intending to use the service for delivering games, according to Yasuhiro Minagawa-san, who is a Nintendo spokesperson. And they're, you know, they've used, Nico Nico to promote their games, much as they have with their YouTube channel. But, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how this develops, if at all, or if it's just a business investment.
Well, you know, Minagawa-san had said that Nintendo acquired the Duango shares at the request of, Nobuo Kawakami, who is a Duango chairman, for his personal funding needs. So I don't know that there's a specific business plan here, but I can't help but look at what, Nico Nico Douga does and look at their, you know, video streaming services and what have you. I can't help but think, like, maybe Nintendo could use Nico Nico rather than using Ustream for their directs, because Ustream is awful.
True.
Like, I don't know, Sidekick, if you were watching the stream live for the Nintendo Direct, but I was, and, you know, I tweeted about how awful it was and how it was super choppy, and I saw a couple other tweets about that, too, so it was not just me.
Mm.
So, I'd love to see them upgrade and use a different platform for that.
It would be nice. Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate has a new character in the form of Marie Rose, who is a gothic Lolita girl from Sweden. Her favorite food is called princess cake, which is a traditional Swedish cake that consists of layers of jam and cream. Her hobbies include sewing and watching scary movies, and she wears a maid outfit. She uses a fighting style called Sistema, which is a military martial arts fighting style from the Russian army.
That's a real fighting style.
And her stage is situated outside of a castle. So, we can't wait to meet Marie Rose. Would you like to take the next one?
Sure. Taiko no Tetsujin is coming to the Wii U, and it's going to have appearances by songs from other franchises, such as Pokemon X and Y and Tekken, as well as Dragon Quest X and Super Mario Brothers. It will also feature songs from Hatsune Miku and Puzzle and Dragons, and the My Neighbor Totoro, available as free downloadable songs. This game comes out on November 21st in Japan, and I have to say, if it comes with a drum peripheral, I'm going to have to start considering getting a Japanese Wii U.
LOL. I wonder if it would just use the same one that the Wii version used?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
So, you know, as we had previously mentioned in this episode a couple times, on November 13th, Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct, ostensibly about the 3DS and games coming out for it in the next few months. Rather interestingly, I think, is that they talked about a lot of non-3DS things during this Direct.
Yes, they did.
But anyway, I want to talk about a couple of them here, and I want to start off with their announcement here in the U.S. that they're going to now be doing weekly franchise sales. You can see these sales at nintendo.com/eShop/offers. Ooh, tongue-tied. And the most interesting thing is that, you know, at this recording, Link is the sort of featured franchise, so you have a bunch of Zelda games on sale, whatever. By the time you hear this, it may not be relevant. But next week, they're doing a sale on Mega Man titles.
Hey!
So please look forward to that. You know, we talk about Mega Man here on the show a lot. If you're interested in the Mega Man series and you haven't dipped your toes yet, I have to say it looks to me like we're going to be seeing some Mega Man titles for Wii U and 3DS, probably Virtual Console titles, on sale for deep discounts.
That's great.
Please look forward to it.
An upcoming 3DS and Wii U system update will finally combine your eShop account balances. You will be able to... it's not going to be like a mandatory one from what I understand when I was watching the Direct, because you can, if you want to, you can spend up your, like, 3DS or, you know, your separate balances before combining them, but, you know, I don't really see the need to personally, but One of the interesting things is that this will also finally bring Nintendo Network ID to 3DS. So,
indeed, and this same update is also going to be adding Miiverse support for the 3DS.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of people are really excited about. Finally having access to the Miiverse and, you know, the message boards and what have you. There has been some amount of discussion on the, you know, on the internet about the Miiverse support on the 3DS not including direct player-to-player messaging, and also not including friend requesting.
Hmm.
Which I think is very interesting, but I have to assume it's just a limitation of the differences in how the 3DS works with its friends code, or friend codes.
Perhaps, or it might have something to do with the recent lockdown of SwapNote.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for player-to-player messaging, I think that's almost certain. I was really looking more specifically at the lack of friending people via it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the 3DS is still based on friend codes, which, you know, Miiverse on Wii U is no longer based on friend codes. It just uses, you know, login, sign-in names or whatever. So, in any event, this update should be coming next month. Please look forward to it.
Also coming next month is some more Pikmin 3 DLC, which notably includes Captain Olimar playable in some of the stages. So that's neat.
Yeah.
It will be coming along with a required update for the game, which will give you free access to a collect treasure stage and a battle enemy stage for free in the Fortress of Festivity.
Fortress of Festivity, woo!
YouTube is coming to 3DS soon via a YouTube app. And the Wii U YouTube app, is going to be updated as well. They showed it off during the Direct that on the Wii you can, like, browse videos while you're watching it on the TV. You can browse on your touchpad or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it, you know, it's really exciting. I like YouTube, obviously. I think kind of everyone does, right? And this app for the 3DS, the YouTube app, should be coming this month, so don't have much longer to wait. We're already more than halfway through.
In news that sounds dirty but isn't, Nintendo Pocket Football Club... Football Club has been unveiled for 3DS in Europe.
Rawr.
Rawr. Ooh, I want a Pocket Cub who plays football. Rawr.
Actually, to be fair, footballers are pretty hot.
Yes, they are.
In any event, yes, this is for Europe, where, you know, football management as a genre is like a huge thing.
Yeah, you might remember that when Sega was going to cut down its portfolio, I don't remember the...
Football Club Manager or whatever.
Yeah, was one of the, like, four franchises that they were still continuing.
It's one of their pillars there, so huge deal, and Nintendo getting into it for, you know, an eShop download for 3DS, that's kind of a big deal as well.
Yeah. You get to choose your country emblem and kit. Can I choose mine to not wear a kit?
Right, like, Sidekick's football team, they're just all going to be playing footy in, like, thongs?
Yes, please. Unless gay news. Bravely Default is going to be launching here in the U.S. on February 7th, and the Collector's Edition will come with an art book, soundtrack CD, and 34 AR cards, but no statue.
Yeah, the European Collector's Edition is going to come with a statue of the character Agnes from the game.
Yeah.
And, of course, we do, as previously discussed, we do know that the U.S. and European release of Bravely Default will include the Bravely Default Flying Fairy for the sequel content.
Yeah, so it's basically just...
best version.
Yeah. Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy will be hitting North America on February 28th, and it's concluding the... trilogy of...
The second trilogy,
thank you, of the Layton games. It looks gorgeous. You know, level 5 can be hit or miss sometimes, but, you know, just watch the trailer if you are debating whether to get it or not. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. And last, but certainly not least in this Nintendo Direct, we got confirmation of a fifth character in Super Mario 3D
World. Is it Birdo?
Spoiler alert. You might want to stop listening now if you really, really care about Mario 3D World spoilers. I don't want to make anyone cancel their pre-orders over this.
Ah!
But Rosalina from Mario Galaxy is going to be a playable character in Super Mario 3D World. We don't yet know how she'll be unlocked. She is an unlockable character, but she does have her own special ability. You know, much as every character in the game so far has a special ability, hers is to do like an additional mini spin jump, the same way that Mario does in the Mario Galaxy games.
That's great.
So yeah, really, really neat little idea.
I bet that DeviantArt and Miiverse already have Kitty Rosalina fan art, like, overflowing them.
I'm sure that that's true, but we also have seen her cat suit already.
No,
it's,
I know,
it's black and super cute.
I know, but I'm saying there's
she's
probably
a little black kitty!
Yeah, I think that's super cool, and it's kind of neat to see Rosalina be, like, officially part of the canon.
I agree. So, all right, well, with all of the news discussed for now, it's time to move into talking about some PlayStation stuff. And you may have noticed that during our news segments this week, we didn't discuss the PlayStation 4 pretty much at all. And that's because we want to segue into that part of the discussion with some PlayStation 4 launch information and news. And, you know, there was a big PlayStation 4 launch event Thursday night at midnight, since the console came out on Friday. And there were a few announcements made. So the first one, and the most interesting one to me, because I think it's really neat, is that Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, which is due out this spring for current-gen and next-gen consoles.
Or last-gen and current-gen, we should say.
Well, we should say at this point. Yeah, you're quite right. Is for the PlayStation platforms, so for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, going to be getting exclusive DLC missions of what is called the Deja Vu mission that is going to have HD, low-polygon, low-res art assets taking place within the context of the original Metal Gear Solid release for PlayStation.
That's really cute.
Yeah, it's super meta. It is absolutely the kind of thing that Hideo Kojima-san gets his rocks off on. I am not surprised at all, and I cannot wait. I went from a little on the fence because, you know, oh, open world Metal Gear, I don't know if I'm here for that, to now, like, dude, this is so cute, I have to play this.
Right. In a interview with Spike TV's Jeff Keighley?
Kylie Minogue.
Shuhei Yoshida-san and Adam Boys from Sony teased The Last Guardian, but that's about it. They teased it.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, you know, just, they sort of were asked if The Last Guardian was going to be coming out, and where it was going to be coming out, and there just was not much of a response. It wasn't negative, it was just, yeah. So it was a tease, it wasn't anything terribly special, but it was cute.
So Towerfall Ascension, which is a enhanced version, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, it's like an expansion. Ascension is an expansion to Towerfall that will be coming to the Ouya next year, but before it comes to the Ouya, continue.
It will be coming to the PS4. Ascension comes with 50 new levels.
Yeah, you know, it's going to come with 50 new levels. It's going to come with a new archer, so there's now going to be a fifth archer. And this content is also going to be coming to the PC early in 2014 with the Ouya release to update the original a few months down the line after that. Oh, four new playable archers. Hey.
Hey.
Also, an all-new two-player cooperative quest mode.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
As well as additional power-ups. So it's a pretty big expansion. Towerfall, you may recall, was to us here at Game Buoy sort of the big Ouya title. So
yes.
I'm really excited about this. I'll absolutely be getting it on PS4 and maybe also on PC. Unless they have crossplay, you know.
Yeah.
We also got news at this PlayStation 4 launch event that the Destiny beta, this is, of course, the quote-unquote massively multiplayer online first-person shooter that Bungie is making, it's going to be getting its beta first on the PS3 and PS4 platforms. The game is due out in 2014 and will also be coming to Xbox One and Xbox 360 down the line.
Do we know if like on the Sony's and the Microsoft, if there will be cross-platform connectivity?
We have no idea. In the past, yeah. Sony has shown a willingness to allow this, And Microsoft has always been very against it, aside from within their own little sphere of working with Games for Windows Live games.
Games for Windows. Ew. Yep.
Infamous Second Son has been pushed back very slightly, once again, from its already delayed release in February. Now it's going to be coming out on March 21st, 2014. That's still pretty soon, and I'm super, super, super psyched for this game. I love the Infamous games. I cannot wait to play this one. I think the main conceit and concept of the main character is great. I cannot wait for this game to come out.
Surprise! Uncharted is coming to PS4, a new Uncharted game, presumably. We don't really know much about it, but Uncharted. Uncharted, Uncharted, Uncharted. Nathan Drake, Nathan Drake, Nathan Drake. Well, maybe not.
Well, we do know that it is going to be a new installment of the series, so it's not just like a Super HD Uncharted 2 or something. We think, based on the trailer, the teaser trailer, that we might have a new non-Nathan Drake protagonist, but we're not sure yet. All we know is that it exists, they're working on it, and I would have to expect that by the time E3 rolls around, we're going to get a big blowout. And now we're sort of moving past the launch, and we want to talk a little bit about a few post-launch news stories that have come up for the PlayStation 4. Slackcake, do you want to take this first one?
Yes, in the first 24 hours that the console was available, 1 million PlayStation 4s were sold. This is, of course, US Canada only, because it hasn't launched anywhere else yet. But that's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting because they claim that's a sell-through number. This is not sold to retailers. This is actually what has sold through, what people have bought. They say that they broke the 1 million unit barrier in less than 24 hours. And if that's true, which we have no reason to believe it's not, this is actually the most successful launch product in the PlayStation family's history.
Yeah.
No platform bearing the PlayStation name has ever sold so quickly at launch. It's kind of a big deal. You know, a lot of people were sort of guffawing when Sony had said that they expected to sell 3 million units by the end of the year, because, you know, that's only a little more than a month away. But with one day, you know, they're already a third of the way to that goal. And I can say for a fact, you know, Slykick and I were out shopping a bit this weekend looking for PlayStation 4 games, which were sold out like everywhere. I also saw a lot of people asking for the consoles. So there is a real hunger out there for this console right now, and I kind of think they're going to go over the 3 million unit goal by the year end of the year.
Yeah. In other news, a small number of PS4s have a blue light of death. It's like a pulsing blue light. There appears to be no fix yet. I know a lot of people were saying, oh, well, flop launch, but, you know, it's, I think, been largely exaggerated. Some of them have been the Taco Bell contest winners, which is kind of interesting. So.
Well, and, you know, something that's interesting is that some of those Taco Bell contest winners that had this issue earlier this week found some luck in just resetting their console, unseating the HDMI cable, and then reseating it. Apparently the blue pulse is what happens when the unit starts sending a signal to your TV, and for whatever reason, it's sending that signal and not getting an HDMI handshake or whatever, but apparently reseating the cable for some people has had some amount of success. There's just not really like an official fix yet, so fingers crossed. Obviously, I hope none of our listeners have this blue, quote-unquote, blue light of death, because, you know, everyone wants to make everything about of death these days.
Yep.
But hopefully this, you know, hopefully gets worked out quickly, and if anyone that listens to our show has it, I hope that you can fix it just by unseating and reseating your HDMI cable.
Indeed. It's time to talk about PS4!
Indeed. Alright, well, you know, so as we've discussed here, the PlayStation 4 is now a thing that you can go buy at the store.
Well, possibly.
Yeah, if the store has any in stock. We have one here in the Game Buoy studio, and before we talk too much about it, I want to do do sort of a buyer's guide discussion. But first, Slagkick, what do you feel now that we have the second entrant to console generation number 8?
It means a lot of things. It means that the chapter is finally closed on the last generation, which, I mean, duh, but, you know, I think that a lot of us were like, oh, PS4 is coming, but like now that it's actually here coming, like, well, so much for that last generation, which, I mean, really shaped the industry as we know it, I think. I think the industry changed a lot over the last console generation.
Well, yeah, and you know, something that's really easy to forget, of course, is that the seventh generation, the Wii, the 360, the PS3, that was a really long generation. That went on like 8 years.
It did.
And so I do, I think there are a lot of gamers, for example, who have probably are hardcore as hell now, who have only really been gamers during that generation, because it went so long.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, now we're finally going to be seeing what studios have to offer, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, I'm really excited. I think that it was time for a new generation. Don't get me wrong, you know, I had said here on the show in earlier episodes before we had launch dates for the Xbox One or PlayStation 4, I had said that I didn't expect either of these consoles to come out for another year from where we are now. I was expecting 2014 releases. I still, in a lot of ways, think that that would have been a good idea. But I cannot deny that there does seem to be a real hunger for a new generation. And I'm happy to have this new generation going. I love my Wii U. I really like my PlayStation 4 so far. So I'm excited. I'm excited. We have the Xbox One coming out next week. We will not be talking about it here on the show for a few weeks because, you know, we have different shows planned for the next few weeks. But we'll probably get around to talking about the Xbox One in mid-December, maybe late December, depending. So, in any event, let's get a little bit into our buyer's guide. If you're listening to this, probably you have an interest in the PlayStation 4. It's possible you don't, and if you don't, I would love to hear from you, but we'll talk about how you can get a hold of us to let us know about that a little later in the show. For now, I want to talk about the availability of the unit. As we said, we went to a lot of stores this weekend that were completely sold out, not only of hardware, but also of software, which mm-hmm. I've never really seen at a console launch before. Yeah. You know, 24 games came out with the PlayStation 4 this week, and I don't think I've ever been a part of a console launch where you go to the store, there should be like 24 games, and the stores, if you're lucky, have two.
Yeah.
And yet we went to several stores this weekend where that was in fact the case, where even software that I don't think there's a real hunger for was getting ravenously snapped up. Stuff like Lego Marvel, Knack, like these things just did not exist in the retail spheres we went into.
Angry Birds Star Wars.
Yeah, that's a good point. We saw placards for it, like, so clearly this game should be in stock, but nope, no Angry Birds Star Wars.
Even though you can get it for, like, $1.
Yeah, and that's another thing, man. Angry Birds Star Wars, I hate to cut into a game for its price, because we talk about that all the time, the Kotaku syndrome of, that's a lot of money, but at some point you sort of have to call a spade a spade. How the hell are they going to sell Angry Birds Star Wars on PlayStation 4 for $50 when the iPhone version is like $1.99.
Well, maybe mommy doesn't want her children playing with mommy's iPhone.
Well, maybe mommy needs to buy a new brain, IDK.
We get angry comments from mommy on GameBooey Twitter and Facebook.
I hope so. Hey, just so you know, if we do have any mothers listening to the show, we're not talking about you. We're talking about those other moms.
Yeah, you're the cool moms.
You're the cool moms. Retail configuration. Slackick, you want to help me out here? What retail bundles and configurations for the PlayStation 4 are real notable right now?
Well, you know, I'm mostly familiar with the bundles that were available on Amazon. I'm not really sure as far as in stores went, how many of these were actually available, but I know that, of course, you were able to get one just, as a PS4 with no game and one DualShock like you did, Captain Spike, but there was a Battlefield 4 launch bundle, a Killzone launch bundle, a Knack launch bundle.
There was one that was just two DualShocks, right?
There was apparently one that had Call of Duty Ghosts, Black Flag.
Oh, nice. I would have bought that.
And NBA 2014, 2K14, sorry.
I would probably not have bought that.
Call of Duty Ghosts, and there was also actually a special offer where you could get a Kindle Fire.
You know, I actually got the coupon for the Kindle Fire because, you know, I did order mine off Amazon, so I did get the promotional code to get a $30 off a Kindle Fire HDX, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember, did we see anyone actually buying the console at the store?
I did not see anyone buying a console. I did see several people asking if anywhere had them in stock.
Yeah.
Both Targets we went to, I saw people asking if they were in stock.
Yeah, that's why I can't really speak to in stores what was available, but presumably some of these were available. At the very least, I'm sure that just the console itself was available because clearly people bought it. I saw a lot of people like on Twitter and stuff posting like, it's my PS4, and they got the NAC bundle, so...
Yeah.
That seemed to be a popular one. I'm sure the bros went for Battlefield 4 or Killzone.
You know, the funny thing about that is I feel like stores must have been overstocked on those two games. Because I would say by far the two games I saw the most in stores were
Battlefield 4
and Killzone.
Well, they knew it was going to be a big bro seller, so they got to keep that shit in stock.
And I would say literally two of the stores that we hit, those were the only two games in stock. So, one of them also had a copy of Knack, but the person in front of us grabbed it. If they hadn't, I think I probably would have bought it myself.
Oops.
Oops, poops.
Oops, poops. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, interesting to see the games getting snapped up, especially since the games have been available for a week or so. Some of them have.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of games have been in stores since, you know, last week, toward the end of last week, and retailers have been selling them, and... Again, apparently a lot of people are absolutely buying a lot of games. You know, you often hear about attach rates these last few years being kind of low. I'm wondering if we're not going to see a really high attach rate for the PlayStation 4 just based on what I've seen this weekend.
Right. You know, a lot of people just in general and on news, gaming news outlets are saying, oh, you know, it's, and even mainstream media is saying that, you know, oh, the launch library is a little bit weak, but...
You know, it's funny. I feel like it has a great and big launch lineup, and, you know, this is the perfect segue, because I kind of wanted to talk about all 24 of the PlayStation 4 launch titles, as like we did when the Wii U released.
Yes.
And just sort of go one by one over them and talk about what we think about each of them. A lot of them we've played ourselves. Some of them we've played on other consoles, and presumably they'd be the same experience. Let's assume that none of these games have been played by some of our listeners, and just go over them real quick.
Okay.
We're gonna go in alphabetical order. The first one we have here is Angry Birds Star Wars.
It apparently has exclusive levels, so that's
20.
Cool. 20, yeah, but $50, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I have a really hard time dealing with this. I'll be honest, if this were a $10 game, I'd be willing to pay 10 times. I mean, think about that. $10 would already be 10 times the price of this game normally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd still be willing to pay that for the 20 exclusive levels, because I love Angry Birds. I especially love Angry Birds Star Wars. Like, the special abilities just really change the whole thing quite a bit.
So, I mean, I guess if you don't care about spending money, you don't have a smartphone, but you do have a PS4... then, you know, maybe go for it, but...
I feel like that's a very specific recommendation. Like, that qualification is probably not going to apply to a lot of people out there.
Yeah, that's my point.
But if it does apply to you, this is probably a pretty good choice. I would suggest you bite on it. With the exception that if you can get it for 99 cents or $1.99 or whatever, do that instead.
Yeah.
How about Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag?
Well, everything that I've heard from, you know, players' feedback is that it looks gorgeous. You know, the general consensus seems to be that the story's kind of a mess, but, I mean, you know.
Well, I know several people playing this game both on last gen and now current gen, and they all seem to think that from a gameplay perspective, this is sort of the game Assassin's Creed 3 should have been. I can't really talk to story, you know, as I always say here on the show, I don't really give a fuck about story.
Although it was kind of important for Assassin's Creed, arguably.
I mean, I liked the setting a lot, but I don't really care about the story. Like, oh, there's some Adam and Eve apple bullshit, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, that. And I think a lot of people are saying that, you know, did this really need to be an Assassin's Creed game, or could it have just been a super cool pirate game?
But I mean, you know, again, the game is selling millions of units. People seem really excited. So clearly having the Assassin's name attached, if it's getting people to play a cool game that has new, somewhat experimental mechanics, that's a good thing to me. Anyway, with regards to the PlayStation 4 version, the performance is supposed to be much better. And everyone I know who's playing it on PlayStation 4, and I say everyone, but I know two people, but still, both of those people indicate that the game looks much, much prettier than the, I'm sorry, I keep wanting to call it current-gen, last-gen versions. The PlayStation 4 version apparently looks much better than the PlayStation 3 and Xbox versions.
That's great.
So yeah, that's awesome. Battlefield 4.
Cool, bro.
Yeah, you know, one notable thing here is that the PlayStation 4 version, like the PC version, supports 64 players in multiplayer matches.
That's a lot of bros, bro!
This is a big deal because a lot of times these Battlefield games for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox versions only support 16 to 32 players.
So that is a pretty good deal. Big deal, rather.
I haven't played this game yet, but I actually intend to get it once I can find it a little cheaper. I really love the idea of, like, really destructible environments. So yeah. I'm totally into the idea of, like, doing first-person shootery stuff in a building that's falling down around you in real time.
Yeah.
So, I haven't played it. I've heard good things from people who like that sort of thing. But, caveat, I cannot speak to the quality of this game. It looks cool. PlayStation 4 looks like the way to go if you're looking for it on a console. Can't say a whole lot more other than that. This is also true for Blacklight Retribution, which is a free-to-play multiplayer first-person shooter. I can't really talk about it too much because I tried to play it yesterday. I'm sorry, this weekend's been a bit strange in terms of timing. But the servers were down pretty much all day. Supposedly it's pretty cool. Apparently you can call in, like, mecha, like, suits to wear or something. I don't know. I'm interested in playing this, Blacklight Retribution, but for now, I can't really say anything other than it's free, so if you have a PS4, I guess you might as well, right?
Yeah.
Call of Duty Ghosts.
Apparently the dog is named Riley.
Yeah. it's a Call of Duty game. It's really pretty, but aside that, I don't have a lot to say about it. The PlayStation 4 version, apparently, is the only one that does not presently have a locked 60 frames a second frame rate.
Weird.
Which is very strange. I guess it's running at a slightly higher resolution, but if it's got an inconsistent frame rate, then who really cares? Like, that's like the calling card of Call of Duty, is its impeccable frame rate.
Oops.
Oops, poops.
Oops, poops. And if we can talk about choppy frame rates, let's talk about contrast.
Okay, talk about contrast.
So, those of you who aren't familiar with Contrast, it is an indie game. It is free for PS Plus users. And, the concept's really cool. You're a kinda like gothy looking girl. You kinda look like you're like an extra in an Amanda Palmer music video. And you run around, there's like a little girl who's like, "Oh, follow me!" But then the cool thing is that you can kind of, link between worlds that and turn into a shadow, and you interact with shadows and silhouettes and do platformy things with it. So it's a really cool concept, but when we were playing it, it just seemed like the performance was a little choppy.
I'm going to disagree here. I did not think it was that choppy. You know, there was a couple of frame rate hitches, but I didn't think it was anything terribly bad.
It wasn't game-breaking.
I mostly didn't even think it was super noticeable. Considering the quality of the graphics, you know, I actually thought that it was a really great effort from an indie studio, so.
Yeah.
Next up, we have DC Universe Online. This is, of course, the superhero MMO from Sony Online Entertainment that we have talked about here on the show.
Yes. It is free to play. But you're free to pay if you want to.
You are free to pay. You know, I like it. I think it's a great game, and, my understanding is that it works better on PlayStation 4. I, again, downloaded it, but I wasn't able to log in. So I'm assuming here. But, all of the screenshots I've seen online look really good, and I like the game at its core when I was playing on PC, so I will definitely start playing this game again once I can get it running.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that it looks great and performs great. And, yeah, that's great. If this can get people playing again, then cool.
FIFA 14. This is, of course, the 2014 version of the FIFA series. That's about all I have to say about it. I guess it has a new physics and animation engine, so it should have new...
Do you get to see, like, bulge physics?
If so, I'd buy it right now with that share button.
Ooh.
Your phone would blow up. I'd be sharing bulge videos all the time.
Well, as if you don't already.
Girl, that makes it sound salacious. You need to strike that motherfucker from the record. I do not send you pictures of bulges.
Okay, it's pictures of booty. Why don't you tell us a little about your experience with Flower for PS4?
It's really pretty.
Really prettier.
Yeah, well, girl, I was getting there. Jesus, don't ask me to talk and then talk over me. I'm done talking about Flower, I mean.
Rude.
No, it was, you know, as Flower, it played just like the PlayStation 3 version, except now it's actually a lot prettier. It was already, like, an incredible-looking game, but... It's clearly running at a higher resolution. The textures look to be higher resolution textures. It has more particle effects going on. It's just effing gorgeous. It's like an upgrade of Flower.
That is almost a console seller to me.
Yeah.
I love Flower so much. I'd like to see Journey get the same treatment, although...
I'll be
Journey's,
honest.
Journey's art style doesn't even...
Really I'll be honest. It. I expect that it's going to. Like... I really expect that it's going to. I don't even know if the game will look that much better. Like, Flower actually looks a lot better. I don't know that Journey will look a lot better, but I do expect it to get a PlayStation 4 port. And, you know, one thing that was cool about Flower was that it was cross-buy. So, obviously, if you already have Flower for PS3 and Vita, you also now have it for PS4.
Yay!
So there's really... More than likely, you've already bought this game, so there's really no reason not to give it another go and appreciate how much more beautiful it is now.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Injustice: Gods Among Us. This is, of course, the DC Comics fighting game made by the Mortal Kombat team over at NetherRealm Studios.
Yes. And this is the Ultimate Edition, which has all the DLC.
Indeed, so. It has all of the DLC and all of the costumes and stuff. And this version, this PlayStation 4 version, actually has a couple of exclusive costumes as well that are only in this version.
Cool.
So, unfortunately, my understanding is that they didn't do much to the game in terms of graphics. It basically just looks the same as it ever did.
Oops, poops.
But, again, I liked Injustice a lot. If I didn't already have it with all the DLC on PS3, I'd be buying it on PS4. But I can't really justify, like, I've already paid, like, $80 for this game. Including the DLC. I'm not trying to spend another $60 for, you know, I guess, like, the one new costume or whatever.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about Just Dance 2014?
It's Just Dance 2014.
Just Dance. Yeah, I know. I mean, it really sort of does what it says on the tin. You know if you like Just Dance already or not.
Pretty much.
Killzone Shadowfall. This is, of course, the new entry in the first-person shooter series, sort of Sony's take on the Halo formula, all shiny edges and sci-fi thrills. The new add-on to this game is that you have, like, a robot owl that you can send out to, like, be a sniper for you, or, like, open doors for you, or be a little hacky guy for you. I've watched a lot of streams of this game. I have not played it myself. I cannot speak for how the game plays. It looks effing gorgeous. Really incredible lighting effects. I was really blown away by it. But, again, it's not quite my kind of game, so I have not played it myself.
The impressions I've heard is that it's all style, no substance, pretty much.
Yeah, but everyone says that about all of these games, these first-person shooter, like, marquee titles. Like, people said that about Halo 4, but I thought Halo 4 was incredible. Because its art style really clicked for me. I really enjoyed that world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your mileage is going to vary on this one. Why don't we talk about Knack? Slagkick, I saw you play Knack for about 30 seconds. Why don't you give me a 30-second, not review, but an impression?
It looked pretty, but not as pretty as I expected, actually. And it just felt a little bit basic. Like, you know, it wasn't like a broken mess. It just really seemed kind of outdated when everyone thought, oh, it's going to be, like, really innovative in the way that Little Big Planet was. They basically, a lot of people, I feel, thought this was going to be the Little Big Planet for
You actually PS4. Discussed that here on the air, and I was inclined to agree with you based on what I had heard, but watching you play, it looked very basic, and, you know, I certainly hate to cite Kotaku, but Kotaku, I believe, had described it as a throwback PS2-style game.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, I didn't spend too much time on it, but it's just for all of the hype it got, I didn't really see what it was, you know, what was so special about it.
And, you know, something that's really telling to me about Knack is that I was pricing games on Amazon earlier today, and I noticed that Knack is the only one where there's already a lot of people reselling their copies on the Amazon Marketplace.
Oops, poops.
For, like, the $35 to $40 range.
Oh.
There was no other game that was going that low. Some people were selling, like, Need for Speed Rivals for, like, $55. And then you have to assume, oh, they bought a racing game and it's just not for them. But all of these people reselling their copies of Knack, and I counted more than 10. Like, I almost have to wonder, like, are people getting this game and then being, like, really bored by it being quote-unquote basic, as you say, Slagkick?
I can only assume so.
Anyway, this isn't meant to be, like, a full review. I'll probably pick this game up since it's obviously going to be the first to price drop, and I'll end up just buying it cheap and you know, I'll probably get something out of it. But in the interim, be aware of what you're getting into. Accusations abound. I want to talk about one that is near and dear to my heart, LEGO Marvel Super Heroes. As a game, I can confirm that this is a really, really, really fun little game. The PlayStation 4 version, apparently, is the exact same game as hit on all of the other consoles, just with a higher resolution and a higher frame rate.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think it does some really clever things that, you know, in large part, it's really just another LEGO game, but I think the fact that the writing's really clever and, you know, that there's so many different heroes available and villains, and that they all have, like, different abilities, makes it a lot different than, like, a LEGO Star Wars or LEGO Harry Potter.
Well, when you said it was just like another LEGO game, I was about to stop you and say that I've seen a lot of criticism, or not criticism, but a lot of praise online that it takes the standard it takes the standard LEGO formula and twists it up by integrating, sort of having to use each character's individual powers for, like, puzzle solving.
Right. I meant just, like, the formula of, you know, you're going through doing platformy stuff. There's LEGO thingies that you have to build. Those are mainstays. So it takes, you know, still has all the mainstays of the LEGO franchise. But I think really probably one of the more enjoyable entries so far.
I hate to do this, but we're going to skip over these next two. We're just going to mention them briefly. We have Madden NFL 25 and NBA 2K14.
One thing, if you do care about Madden NFL 25, is that you can transfer your Ultimate Team mode from your PS3 to your PS4. And I have nothing to say on NBA 2K14.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to remark, again, these are not my kinds of games. If they are your kinds of games, this might not matter, but apparently a lot of the flaws that the last-gen versions of these games had, the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions, which have been available for a little while and apparently have a lot of problems, these problems apparently are still on display. So they apparently did not do a great deal to, like, fix them or make them great new experiences. And I would have to think, based on that, that unless you're a mega fan, you might want to wait until the next iterations of these series.
Yeah.
Slagkick, you played some Need for Speed Rivals. Why don't you tell me about that?
It's actually really fun. You know, I'm not super good at these types of racing games, but something that is notable about this version is that you can be a super speed dude or a cop. And I played as the cop, and it was actually a lot of fun. You have to, like, ram speeders to arrest them, I guess, or whatever. And, you know, you can do chases, and there's apparently a story mode where you're a rich kid who just likes to go out driving daddy's car really fast. But, you know, aside from that, it looks gorgeous. You know, I really, in particular, the lighting and shadows, like, really seem to be a step up. I mean, it looks really pretty, and, you know, controls really well. Not typically the type of racing game, like I said, that I'm necessarily good at, but it was a lot of fun.
Excellent. I also played Need for Speed Rivals. I did not play as the cop. I really enjoyed it. I was a big fan of Need for Speed Most Wanted, which I was playing on the Wii U. And one thing that really took me about Rivals is that it was very pretty. I thought that Most Wanted was also very pretty, and Most Wanted, it certainly still holds up. It's still a very pretty game. But playing Rivals, it was clear, like, okay, the Wii U is clearly a powerful console, but I mean, just based on what I saw, Need for Speed Rivals did look like a step above Most Wanted, certainly. It had a lot more particle effects going on. The lighting, in particular, was really like, damn! There was some really great, like, work on, like, reflective surfaces in-game, and the sense of speed was really impressive. So I was overall really, really impressed by Need for Speed Rivals. Probably the most fun I've had with my PS4 so far, but I've also only put, like, 5 or 6 hours into the device, so I couldn't, you know, I mean, that doesn't have a lot of weight yet.
Yeah.
I have no idea about Playroom, but it is apparently an interactive toy for use with the PlayStation camera, if you bought one. It comes free with the PS4, so if you have the camera, you should check it out and play with, I guess, some interactive little robots or something.
Sounds cute, but, I mean, I can't help but wonder how soon, if not already, there's going to be little robots, bouncing around a dude's wang or something.
Let me just say, Game Boy listeners, if you have a PlayStation camera and you want to make little robots bounce around your wang, that's what the share button is for, and I request your robot wang photos. Or videos.
Oh my.
Thank you for your fealty. Sidekick, why don't you tell us about Resogun?
Resogun is a twin-stick shooter that takes place in, like, a cylindrical sort of map. It kind of has a crazy taxi-esque sort of mechanic where you have to, like, save the last survivors of the human race from extinction and apocalypse. And, really pretty, you know, it has a lot of great particle effects. Really, really gorgeous. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, this is the killer app for PS4. I thought it was fun, but, you know, it didn't strike me as, oh, you know, I need to buy PS4 for Resogun, so.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like maybe people are looking for something to be like, oh, see, this was worth paying $500 for, or $400 for.
You know, I have to say, I like Resogun. I really enjoyed the time that I've played it so far. I will definitely play more of it. But I do agree with you. I'm not quite sure why it's getting the level of hype that it's getting.
Because something has to, or else they have to say, oops, we just blew $400 plus on a console that maybe wasn't quite ready to launch.
Girl, like, what kind of shady, fickle people are these? Like, no, I bought a console and there's not super great games for it yet. I don't care. So what? Pretty games are pretty. I liked Resogun, it was cool, and you know, I really need to hit this with the caveat that Sidekick and I have only played on the introduction difficulty level. We have not played on any of the 4 or 5 harder difficulties in the game. It seemed really straightforward, and it was pretty, it was very pretty, but from a gameplay perspective, I didn't really see the spark of, like, holy shit, this is incredible.
I just felt like I was kind of waiting for, oh, what's the big wow moment?
And, you know, maybe the big wow moment comes when you're playing a harder difficulty and have, you know, 100 times as many enemies on screen at any given time.
Perhaps.
I haven't seen it yet, and that's what we're talking about, is our impressions. Either way, if you have PlayStation Plus and a PlayStation 4, Resogun is a free download. I downloaded it because I am PlayStation Plus, and it was pretty cool. For a free game, I'm extremely, extremely happy with it.
Excellent.
I wouldn't call it a console seller, but, you know, it's good to have.
Yeah. Skylanders Swap Force. I still haven't played a Skylanders game yet, but it really looks pretty from what I've seen.
Yeah, and the PlayStation 4 version runs at a better frame rate and a higher resolution. And apparently from the gameplay perspective, it's the same as the current last-gen versions.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean, it looks super pretty. I'm looking at screenshots of the PlayStation 4 version. I'm just like, damn!
Yeah, and Swap Force in general has been pretty well reviewed, so...
Yeah, yeah. Really incredible. You know, I did not expect these Skylanders games to do as well as they're doing as games. I thought they were just going to be really cheap, gimmicky little pieces of shovelware, but they actually review really well, and the people who like playing them really, really like them.
Yeah, and especially post-Disney Infinity... that this game's doing so well. Good for them.
Yeah, I thought the Disney juggernaut would beat them back for sure, but things still seem to be progressing.
Pokemon Rumble U, which kind of didn't really take off, I don't feel.
I don't feel it took off either. And, you know, part of the problem may be that Nintendo had really limited the retailers that could sell the toys. It's only available at GameStop.
And Toys R Us has the Infinity. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, only GameStop.
Game Buoy Superfan Crystal D was at Toys R Us one time, getting tons of Disney Infinity.
Probably more than one time. But, girl, that wasn't shade. But, yeah, so, in any event, moving forward, I want to talk about sound shapes. Of course, this is basically the exact same game that you have probably already played on the PlayStation Vita or PlayStation 3. It is a music-based platform puzzle game. If you haven't played it, you definitely should. However, I must confess, I saw no difference to playing it on my PlayStation 4 compared to playing it on my PS3 or my Vita.
Yeah.
It was the exact same experience. A great experience, but the exact same. Super Motherload is a game based on a free Flash game from earlier in the 2000s. I did not play the new Super Motherload because, you know, it's like a $15 download for a game that I played a Flash version of like almost 10 years ago, which is, of course, terribly hypocritical of me. And as soon as it's a little cheaper, and I'm sure it'll go on sale at some point, I'll pick it up. Apparently, it's a good time.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Trine 2.
Yeah.
This is, of course, out on the PlayStation 4. It is the first game that supports 3D graphics on the PlayStation 4, which obviously if you have a 3D TV out there, you might already be interested in it. It's a 2D physics-based puzzle platforming game, and it's beautiful. I played it on the Wii U because it came out on the Wii U. We talked about it here on the show. It had new content for the Wii U. The PlayStation 4 version does not have additional new content, but it does have the Wii U content. It is a three-player, multiplayer, simultaneous co-op also, and if you have friends on the couch with you that you want to play multiplayer with, then you have a second controller, that's where you can go.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's, you know, same experience as otherwise. I'm a fan because I already liked the game. If you're not familiar with the Trine games, you really should check it out. It's a really good time.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
And last, but certainly not least, is the free-to-play PC game Warframe. Warframe is actually a lot of fun. It's like a four-player, randomly generated, like, first-person dungeon crawl.
Huh.
And it's, you know, there's loot and customization and, like, a crafting system. I actually really liked it on PC the time I played with one of our Game Buoy listeners, in fact, Wicked out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we didn't play it together. He was playing it. He told me to play it so that we could meet together somewhere in between. And we never really hooked up. But, oh, girl, we never hooked up.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, he got me onto that one. And I loaded it up on the PlayStation 4. And it's the same experience, just on PlayStation 4. So if you haven't played it yet and you don't have a gaming PC, but you do have a PS4, it's free. And I would highly recommend you jump in. It's a good time.
Excellent.
And with that having been said, I think we've talked about all of the launch games now.
We have.
Woohoo! All right, well, let's wrap this discussion up. Sidekick, I know that you don't have a PlayStation 4 yet. Are you planning on getting one?
Once I can afford to, yeah.
Excellent.
Unless the X-Bone blows us out of the water.
Right. What games are you looking forward to playing on the PlayStation 4 in the next few... Let's say in the next year.
Well, I definitely want to play Flower, through again with the beautiful revised graphics and such. But I think a lot of what I'm looking forward to is the stuff that's coming out in a couple months, like Watch Dogs and, you know, other stuff. I kind of feel like a lot of the stuff that I would have picked up, I will also be able to get on PS3, so I don't feel like totally saddened that I wasn't able to budget a PS4 right now, but, you know, I don't think at the same time that there's, you know, nothing out there for people.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm personally really looking forward to Infamous.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the big one for me. I'm a big fan of that series, as I said a little bit ago. And I cannot wait. I have heard people ask, you know, a couple people have asked me why I didn't just wait to get my console until Infamous came out, but there's not going to be a price drop between now and March, especially with news of how many units sold. So I'm glad I have mine locked down. I feel good about the purchase.
You almost always do console launches anyway.
Well, I'm not going to do an Xbox One at launch. I am going to get one later in December if I can, though. I have to admit, I want to hear about the console's hardware reliability first. I'm really concerned that there could be another, like, red ring of death in waiting.
Oops, poops.
But if after a few weeks we haven't heard any widespread news on that, then I'll definitely hunt one down. I'm becoming really, really eager to play Killer Instinct. Even Dead Rising 3 I really would like to play at this point.
Just to see if there's a big bulge.
Yeah. So, overall, here at GameBuoy.org, we are pro PlayStation 4. We think that it's been a good time so far, and we're looking forward to seeing how the console grows from here.
The DualShock 4 feels really great, but
everyone's
been talking about that, I feel.
Yeah. I fits in my hand super snugly. I really adore it.
And really, it's the first major revision to the DualShock style of controller, so, you know, that's kind of notable. But yeah, really feels great and fun.
Indeed. All right, well, with that, let's move on to Smash or Trash. So, for the first time in quite some time, we have both a Smash and a Trash today. Our Smash is an article that was published today, in fact. This is called The Lost Promises of Shadow of the Colossus, and it's over on US Gamer. Bob Mackey wrote this, and he sort of talks about some of the promises that were made early on in the design of Shadow of the Colossus, and sort of how these things came to bear in the actual released version of the game. I, of course, am super gay for this kind of article. I love discussion on, like, what could have been and what was part of the design doc and sort of why certain game choices were made and had to be compromised on. So it's a good piece. It's not super huge, but it's a nice, hefty little read.
Good.
Our trash today is the Penny Arcade Report.
What?
Yeah, you know, it hurts me to say, because I remember when Penny Arcade Report was initially meant to be a bastion of what, like, games journalism could and should be, and now I feel like they've pretty much just become a Kotaku-esque snarkapalooza, just baiting trolls for hits. This article is called Sony Releases List of Things the PlayStation 4 Can't Do.
Ooh, that's a very clickbait sort of title.
It is. And then this entire article is just them just snarking and being super negative and not discussing, like, real ins and outs at all. And, you know, now that this article is dated a little because it's from 2 weeks ago, so we have answers to some of the stuff they complain about in this article. Like, there's this part here, audio CDs aren't supported. Your MP3s aren't supported. None of my existing music is compatible with your PlayStation 4, that's a really interesting change in tone as well. It's poorly written on top of it all. Until you pay Sony's unlimited music streaming service. No, that's actually not true. Sony is patching in support for audio CDs and MP3s. They were just working with firmware that they wanted to get out now that was stable and reliable so that they could work out the additional features later. This is a totally normal thing. It's not a conspiracy against you.
And PA Report has not issued an update yet.
No, I loaded this right now. So, and it's, again, you know, they're still being very negative about this device, despite the fact that these features, again, they are coming. There's just some issues with firmware or whatever. They're going to be patched in later. This is a reality of games hardware in 2013.
Yep.
And I saw a lot of people online talking about, like, well, how could they have it working for PS3 and not PS4? And the real answer is because the PS4 is different hardware, and you never know how these software solutions are going to interact with each other until you have them all working together. And sometimes you might have to say, oh, I have a bug in my whatever is reading this CD, and so we're just going to have to stop it from reading CDs until we can fix it. But we still have a deadline, so we have to push this software out.
In other news, duh.
Right? Like, sorry, that's how the world works. Stop and think for a minute. Like, the damn thing works. I plugged it in. I didn't have any crashes. I've played it for, like, 5 or 6 hours. My console runs well. I'm happy. Like, at some point in the future, I'll be able to put CDs in and play, as if I even need that functionality. But still, cool that it's there. I'm happy.
End of story.
I didn't realize I had a rant in me. In any event, why don't we talk about...
I said, hey, what's going on?
So this week, I have spent most of my time playing Castlevania Harmony of Despair.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah, I've been playing with Jeremy Johnson over from the Koopa Club podcast. We have been working on going through, taking down Dracula, having fun, because, you know, we talked about this game during, here on Game Buoy, our Castlevania episode, and I think I even commented back then on that, on the air, that talking about it really reminded me how much fun I had with that game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of a no-brainer to be like, oh, hey, I'm looking for a fellow Castlevania nut to play this game with me. And it has definitely been a lot of fun, gone through and seen a lot more of the content in the game than I had seen in previous plays. So,
oh, that's great.
I'm a huge fan. If we have any listeners that want to play this game with me, I have it on Xbox and on PS3. I should say I have it on Xbox 360 and PS3. Shoot me a tweet over at @spikepoint if you want to play sometime.
Yeah, I should pick it up on PS3 because that's mostly where I'm at these days.
Yeah, well, definitely. If you do, hop in with us. We'd probably have a hell of a good time.
Excellent.
Also, I played Fortune Street just last night, but I want to talk about it. You know, this is a Wii game that upon its release was really, in the U.S., I should say, upon its release was really just devastated in reviews. It reviewed terribly. Pretty much all reviewers that reviewed it that I read hated it. I think Kotaku outright said, you should not buy this.
No, Kotaku would
and,
do that.
You know, I have to say, I was playing online, because it's a Wii game with online functionality, and I had so much fun. It was like playing the old game Coldcept, like Coldcept meets Monopoly or something. Like, it was a really good time. I really enjoyed it. There's, like, this whole, like, stock trading mechanic that I found super compelling.
Daisy's a bitch, though.
Oh, well, Daisy is a bitch. And, you know, even though I just played this game, like, 2.5 hours last night, I already today wish I didn't have a concert to go to tonight, because I'd rather play Fortune Street. It's the best compliment I can give it, because this band I'm about to see tonight, Churches, is someone I'm really into.
Yeah.
By the time you listen to this show, we'll have already been to the show. So, hopefully we had a good time.
Yes, hopefully we did.
Slackick, why don't you tell me about what you played this week?
I've been playing some more Pokemon XY, or Y in my case. I'm still not at the Elite Four yet, but I'm working on super training my Mareep, which actually just evolved into a Flaffy, so that's been kind of different. Like, you know, I hadn't really played around with it too much, but, I'm just working on kind of building my team up. Not this week, but last week, we played with Space Pirate Ben some Mario Kart Double Dash, which was a lot of fun, and some Smash Brothers Melee, so we busted out the GameCube, so.
Yeah, it was great. I had a really great time last week, and we'll have to do that again in the future.
Yes, we will.
Excellent. All right, well, it's time for social links.
So, due to the hectic nature of this weekend, we did not get the social links question of the week up to you, as per usual, but we would like to throw it out there for you to answer, and we'll read it on our next episode. We will also go ahead and post these on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org?
Or rather, we will also post them on our social networks, as per usual.
Yeah, we'll have these on Twitter and Facebook. But for those of you that would like to start working on your answer now, This week we talked about the PlayStation 4 launch. Do you plan on getting one now? If not, will you ever? The Facebook bonus question is gonna be, what are you hoping to see from the PlayStation 4 a year or two down the line? Are there any PlayStation legacy franchises that you'd like to see come back?
So we look forward to your feedback, and we love your feedback.
We love your feedback.
We love your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitter. We like to tumble on Tumblr, and you can plus one us on Google Plus.
And, of course, you can find all of these links over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And if you need to email us, you can email us at MailBuoy@GameBuoy.org.
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 Obviously, our Twitter is GameBuoy.org, and the .org is spelled D-O-T-O-R-G.
GameBuoy.org, the .org is spelled D-O-T-O-R-G.
And with that, I think it's time to hit our shout-outs.
Yes, our Google Plus, by the way, now does have a URL. It's GameBuoy.org. It wouldn't let us give any other options, but so we're GameBuoy.org.
Oh, okay.
On Google Plus.
Excellent. GameBuoy.org on Google Plus.
So shout those shout outs out.
As ever and always, if you like what we do here on GameBuoy, you can get an upgraded and better version of it over at Koopa Club Podcast. That's Koopa with a Q and Club with a K. Also, in that same vein, please check out Video Game Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. VG Realness is an LGBT-focused show, as is Koopa Club, and to some degree, us here on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
If you have a problem with any of this, fuck you. I also want to shout out to Geek Charisma, a podcast that is everything geek with discussions on movies, DVDs, video games, conventions, and comics, as well as Neshoba talks with you about games. I haven't seen a new episode from Neshoba posted in a little while. I hope he's well. But if you haven't seen his archive of episodes yet, you really should. He's sort of doing something that I think not really anyone else is doing. It's sort of like a musical theater. Broadway meets NPR about games.
Indeed.
I also want to shout out to Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues. In addition, the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. And last but certainly not least, the Retrograde Podcast. They look at sort of individual retro games each week and sort of really dig in real meaty-like.
Excellent. I'd like to shout out to Game Bar.
I want to take you to a game bar.
They're the gay video game prairie home companion, the podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. Nerdgasm Network, the wildest group of shock jock video game radio bros and broettes that you'll ever come across. Over on the VOG Network, Voice of Geeks Network, you can tune in to Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously. I'd also like to shout out to Video Game Outsiders, the podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. And last but certainly not least, the Nerd Podcast. That's Nerd with a G. And they are the podcast where you can tune in for pop culture rants from a gay nerd perspective. And with that, we thank you for tuning in to our PS4 episode.
You didn't shout out our Zelda Orchestrated.
Well, Zelda Reorchestrated has sailed into the sunset.
Yeah, but they still made our music, and we still appreciate
our it. Our wonderful theme music was done by the late, great Zelda Reorchestrated. And we hope that you had the chance to support them while they were still active. You know, these guys were great, and really, it was a labor of love.
Superb. With that, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate your patience in listening to our show. Please look forward to a rather large episode in a couple of weeks' time. In the meantime, until we get there, it's been a real pleasure. Keep thinking, keep gaming, and Kotetsu no Shoujo. Thank you. Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Nope. Oh, Lordy Lou. Okay, yeah. I didn't say it wasn't.
Fortress of Festivity, woo!
Woo! Bravely Default is...
Flying Fairy, still pretty gay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!